We're back at the Aspens in Holly Springs, a beautiful 55-plus luxury apartment community, and boy, they've really outdone themselves. And we're kind of in the, this is kind of big to be a parlor, but we're in their main room, and their people congregating and talking and having a nice relaxing day. They have a Christmas tree in here, and Rufus said, did you sing with that Johnny Cash song out there as you're smoking your cigar? Do we have Rufus? I wonder if he...
I guess he did, too.
So are you out on the porch smoking a cigar?
Well, I'm getting in the car, and you're going to hear me the next hour.
All right.
Coming home. Because I'm looking forward to this day. I've got some perennials that Phil gave me to put out. And it is just a magnificently beautiful day. What a great day for gardening for people.
I know. It was nice and cool.
Out there and plant something. I abide by the old rule. When is the best plant time to plant a tree or a plant? That was 30 years ago. When's the next best time? So.
Well,
that's for sure.
This is certainly the best time of year.
Yeah, we
to
just
plant
had some
a lot
good,
of things.
Yeah, we just had some good rain, so it's a great time to go in and get something in. It's great.
Well, Phil, it's just amazing the impatience and the coleus at my place that were put in last fall, early spring, are just as vibrant. I've never seen a time like this.
Yeah. We've got a bed there across from the office, and it's full of coleus and the impatiens and the sun patients, and it is just gorgeous. I mean, it hasn't gone down at all. I mean, it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
So
I go by your rule of thumb. If the annuals are still looking good, don't pull them up yet.
Well, I mean, because we've had some really warm days and some of the pansies have stretched out. So, you know, and while we're talking about gardening, I'd like to say hello to Bryant Woodall, Tim's brother. And Bryant texted me a few minutes ago and said hello to everyone.
Hey, Bryant. Hey, does Bryant play the banjo too?
No.
Tim Woodall is one of the best. And of course, he's on our sister station, QDR, and has been since the late 80s.
Yeah.
On Sunday nights.
Bryant's just he's like another one of my sons or something like that. So he's always been a special young man in the community. So
how about
I'd like
that?
To give him a heads
good morning
up.
To you,
thanks
Bryant.
For listening.
Hey,
he listens every day.
Rufus, one of the residents here, Susie, is with us, and she's a full flung gardener here.
And she's got on a Christmas shirt.
So you got a lot to live up to now. I've already built you up. You enjoy gardening?
I don't really have a green thumb.
Oh, you're trying.
Mostly, I can keep something alive like a sansevieria.
So are you here for tips?
No.
Okay. You're just here to talk?
Sure. They wanted me to talk about what a great place this is to
live. Well, do you have a place to garden? I understand y'all are going to maybe start a gardening club.
I don't know about that. Yeah. That's not... That's not my primary interest.
That's what journalists do, is put words in your mouth.
Is so, that right? You're doing a great job of that.
Okay, well, see, you got to be in control, Susie. So, you just kind of working your way into this?
We moved in July. It kind of was a surprise. We moved from a four-bedroom, almost 3,000-square-foot house. We've been in Holly Springs for 10 years, and we just got to the point where we couldn't handle not having a first-floor bedroom, and we knew the time was going to come when that house was too much to take care of, and rather than wait until that day came, we decided while this place was new, we'd take the plunge. So
you picked a good place.
Yeah, we moved in the middle of July.
Of course, you could have put an elevator in your house.
We did look at that, but I didn't want to ruin the aesthetics of the floor plan of the house.
Yeah.
There were a couple of different places that we could have done that, but also we were looking at the cost of that, which was
much
at
easier here.
Yeah, at the time my husband checked into it, the cost of putting in an elevator was between $16,000 and $21,000.
Right.
And then I'm like, yeah, and then how's that going to affect the resale value of the house when you've destroyed the living room putting this shaft in there? So,
A lot of people consider that, but this is a much better alternative.
It is. We looked at no more property taxes, no more home maintenance, no more yard maintenance, HOA fees.
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of pluses.
Does someone clean your apartment, or do you do that?
We're kind of half and half.
Okay.
We have it available to us. My husband doesn't mind cleaning, and I let him.
Oh, that's good.
Your husband doesn't mind cleaning?
Oh, no.
How about that?
He's up there cleaning right now. She's down here having a good time.
You got to work with him.
Yeah. So that was one of the reasons. He was the one that proposed this. He was out. Our house is only 2 miles from here. And when he would go out for a walk, he'd walk 5 to 7 miles, like walk from our subdivision over to Lowe's or Walmart or something. And one day he was walking by, and he just decided to stop in and check it out. And we had not talked about it at all. And he got all excited and came home with brochures and floor plans and prices. He's, you got to go over here.
Did he check to see if they had vacuum cleaners?
I don't know. Well,
I noticed they got puzzles. Carlton the doorman would love that.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, but anyway, he's, you got to go look. You got to go look. And I just looked at him and I said, are you crazy? It would take me at least a year to downsize. And that was in the beginning of March. And we moved in July. So
nice.
Once I got on board and started getting rid of stuff, it got easier.
And you're meeting, I guess you knew a fair amount of people in Holly Springs. So you're meeting a lot more now.
We are. And the residents here are great. Everyone is super friendly, helping each other out and welcoming to new residents. And it's a great place. We have all sorts of social activities throughout the week, some things that are recurring, and just kind of to encourage us to be down here and socializing. And it's my understanding we may be getting a pool table. So that's one more thing to get people.
Do you like to bet? Is that why you like to play pool?
Casino.
No.
You might want a casino down here.
Yeah. No.
You want a casino?
No. I'm not big on that. And I'm really not much of a pool player, but my husband and I'm sure the men.
Oh, so he takes time out from cleaning to play pool. aren't we fortunate?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
He does get involved
some
of the other things. Yeah. So, but we like it here, and we just look at it from all directions. It was a great move for us. The other thing was, of course, our grandson, who lives in Apex, thinks we live in a hotel.
A luxury hotel.
In fact, yesterday we had him for a couple of days, and we were in the apartment yesterday before we took him back home, and he dropped something on the floor, and I said, well, it's, you know, it's okay, it's clean, because the cleaners were here the day before we left. And he said, did the cleaners come with the hotel?
Well, that's a good question.
Anyway, part of what made the decision easier for me was when we told our son and daughter-in-law that we were thinking about moving here, they immediately, I was expecting a little pushback, saying, oh, you're not ready for that yet or something. And I got a completely different reaction, because they said, that's great. Can we go too?
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
But they're only in their 40s,
sure.
So they have to wait a little
while. You know, 55 is not too far away.
Right,
so
right.
A lot of people work who live here, and some don't. And you just kind of do what you want to do.
I think one of the big things for you is something you said early on was that you made the decision to do it while you could make that decision.
Yeah.
Well, and also,
and that's always good.
We're trying, you know, we realize that physically, you know, you start having aches and pains and all that, and there's still a lot of travel we want to do. And this way, we can lock the door. We don't need to worry about a security system or someone mowing the yard while we're gone.
Right.
Or any, you know, we can just go. So.
So great. Did you garden at home?
Not very much. I had a rose bush, and we had we tried. We're not sure what the ground was like. We've been told that the lot that our house was built on was like the trash pile while they were building the subdivision. So there were rocks, and it was really hard. Without, like, putting a foot of topsoil down, it was hard to get anything to grow.
Yeah.
We tried with, you know, tomatoes and
zucchini. You have to add
amenities,
organic matter, to most of the soils, whether it's sandy.
Right.
Not too far from here, there is some sandy soil. That's where the ocean was at one point, but clay to the north. But yeah, you have to add something to all of it to help it grow. So what are you what aspect of gardening are you interested in? Just flowers, or
I would like to be able to grow things I could eat, but
we
had problems with, you know, pests of various sorts,
and
then when you start, it's like, well, if I put this chemical on there, am I going to be able to eat what's growing?
Yeah.
It's like, nah, not a good idea.
Great question.
Not a good idea.
Yeah, Phil owns Campbell Road Nursery in Raleigh, and she would be a good resource for you, as with this show.
It's really not far from you. It's just straight up Holly Springs Road.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's actually feels like more Cary than Raleigh, but so you should check that out sometime. And you can get vegetables. Have you been to the farmer's market, State Farmer's Market?
Not been to the State Farmer's Market, been to the Holly Springs one.
Yeah, you should
times.
Go to the big one there. I mean, they have, certainly during season, they have things, all kinds of plants that you can grow as food, seedlings, and you can grow things from seeds. And there's a lot of available online from North Carolina State University. Paul has just retired as an extension agent, and he spent his life, you know, helping people grow gardens and other landscape plants. So there are a lot of resources available for you if you're really interested in it. But I'm so glad that you're happy here.
I am.
And I hope they get that pool table in for you.
Do they have a swimming pool here?
No, we do not.
What, do you want to swim now?
No, I'm just asking, because they had yoga and things like that, so I didn't know if they had some, like, water aerobics or something.
No, we do have a chair yoga class and a circuit training class. There's a guy who comes in and does a balance class. And
that's
I think
good.
Maybe a little – I haven't tried his classes yet. I've done the chair yoga, and I've done the circuit training. Plus, on our exercise room, there are all sorts of machines. You can go in there anytime and work out on your own. As far as the pool goes, it wasn't a big deal breaker. Something a lot of people ask about, but it wasn't a big deal breaker for me because we came from a subdivision where we had two pools, and except for when the grandkids were around, I can count on my fingers how many times we went to the pool. That's that wasn't, you know, that wasn't a big deal for me. And I also understand that that's a big liability and upkeep feature.
It is.
And if we did have a pool, chances are, you know, they have to cover that some way, so the rent would be higher, or you know, they'd need more manpower than what they have. So, like I say, that doesn't. I'll get my pool time in when we're doing that traveling.
There you go. You're free to do whatever you want to do.
Right.
Susie, so nice talking to you, and so glad you love this place and love Holly Springs and the area. But you do go to the State Farmers Market sometimes.
I will try that.
Maybe y'all could plan a trip.
That's a great idea.
There are restaurants there and lots of, especially during the summer, there's a lot of plants.
Come on up to the nursery. We got our poinsettias in yesterday.
Campbell Road Nursery.
Maybe you could keep one of those alive till Christmas.
I probably could do that.
I think you could
I bet you can.
Probably could do that.
Susie, thank you.
Thank you.
Nice meeting you. All right. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener on WPTF. Rufus, are you are in your car? I wanted to give you time to get settled.
I'm traveling from Chapel Hill to 2121 Lake Wheeler Road, the 2.5-acre spread that's populated by many plants from Phil Campbell over the years.
Yeah.
In fact, there are some almost 30-year plants that Phil gave me. Big trees. The Carolina fir, I believe. What was that? I'm sure there have been so many plants, but it's an evergreen tree, and it's some kind of, I thought,
a Carolina something?
A what?
Did you say Carolina?
It has the name Carolina to it.
Okay.
Carolina Sapphire?
An
evergreen, kind of a tall evergreen, pyramidal shaped.
Yep. So that's what it is. But Phil gave them to me about 25 years ago, and they're now they were about waist high, and they are now up probably 25 feet.
I want to delve more back into why you lost those Rufus tomato seeds in your garage. What were the circumstances surrounding
that? Well, you've seen the inside of that garage, unfortunately. That is the junkyard of America. I've got old cabbage platters that where I grew up using them. Everything hanging from the ceiling you can think of that relates to a farm. Sacks and sacks of worn-out tools. And somehow they just disappeared. Now Gerald had some of them, but they didn't quite do right. He was going to help me on that, but his didn't come out all right. So we got to start all anew this year with Cousin Gladys's tomato, the Gerald Rufus tomato, and the Craig Rufus tomato.
All right. Well,
I might even get Phil. When Craig sends those seeds,
yes,
I'd like to give you a couple because I know you can propagate them beautifully.
Yes, I will put them in the I'll put them in greenhouse 4 and grow them out for you. Yes.
That's cool.
So we're already planting tomato gardens. What an amazing thing.
It'll be here before you know it.
Well, that's true.
Goodness.
That's true. So
you asked me how to start my seeds, Mike.
Yeah.
I have a little hot house that's about a foot wide and a foot and a half long. And it has a cover over it and a little heating coils underneath. And it's a perfect thing to germinate seeds in.
How about that?
What do you do for light with that?
Well, it's on the porch, on the Florida roof.
Yeah, he doesn't have that in the garage.
So just natural light, yeah.
Yeah, just natural light. And that did very well last year.
Nice.
Well, he does have a chimney in his garage. I've never seen a garage with a chimney in it before, but...
Well, it was, at one time, it was an apartment for someone that lived here that was, Dr. Lawrence was Raleigh's first orthodontist.
Right.
Who built this house. He had a brother on one side and a brother on the other side. But my garage had two rooms to the back of it, and I was told it was a little living quarters for the person that helped with the keep the grounds for Dr. Lawrence. It was way out in the country at that time. And there's a fireplace that worked, yeah.
How about that? Well, maybe the seeds actually got burned up out there.
Oh, Lord. Well, Linda said if something happened to me, she was just going to set fire to that thing.
How about that? So you have been working as your first meeting as a Board of Visitors member at UNC?
Yesterday. I said, what? Somebody asked me, what's that? I said, well, you get to visit.
That's all there is to it?
Well, no, we got met a lot of people. They want you to be very active in the university, of course, raise funds. And I volunteered on the Government Service Committee, where I will help lobby some for the university's needs.
Oh,
and
wonderful.
It's just it's a very large group of people. It's certainly nothing I wouldn't call it something very, very special. The incoming class got about 25 new people in it, and it's the whole board of visitors is about 100 people altogether from all over the state and from other parts of the country. I just combined has made up of people that from all walks of life in the university who love the university.
Well, it's kind of the university think tank to a certain extent too. A lot of ideas.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Well, it's not a recreational thing. I mean, y'all work to help and promote the university.
Now I did recreate last night.
It was a school night, Rufus. You were not supposed to recreate.
Well, that was an exception because we had a big reception at the Carolina Inn, and I thought, here I am at the Carolina Inn being received. When I was in college, there was a cafeteria there, and I bussed tables. And I almost like it's revenge on the university for that hard work, and now I'm being a guest at the end.
We're gonna be back and talk more about this coming up. We're back on WPTF, Mike Rayleigh here, and we're at the Aspens, a luxury community that is in one of the fastest growing areas of the Triangle area, Holly Springs, a 55-plus community. There are people who work outside, and, you know, this is their home, and there are people who... I'm told we're in their 90s who live here. Pardon my voice this morning. And it's really an extraordinary place. Right off of 55, very near the hospitals and doctors and shopping areas. And, you know, it's easy to get most anywhere here. And easy to get Campbell Road Nursery if you want to go see Phil. But... Rufus, you still okay trucking along there on the road?
We're pulling in the gate to the Edmundston Estate.
Wow, you got there fast.
Yes, sir. Well, there's not much traffic on the road, and I was using a Mike Rayleigh technique.
Oh, okay. I guess that just like when the president comes through, they block the side roads, so Rufus can
not quite. But I'm looking at the most gorgeous, about 15-foot Cyclus Amelia.
Yeah.
As you come right through the gate, you've seen that one.
And is that white?
Solid white.
Yeah.
It's a white blanket underneath it, and the leaves falling or the petals falling.
I've always felt like that was such an underutilized plant. That's a camellia succinctus.
I have over 65, both the Cyclo and Japonica.
Yep.
A lot of them from Phil. And I've never had any disease on the lawn. I've never had but a couple die in my life, and that's because I didn't water them when I first put them out.
And I think that's the biggest problem when if we plant them in the spring and don't water them during the summer.
I have a rule. If anything goes in the ground, I don't care if it's even raining. Water it.
Yeah.
And, Phil, I've given that in to our friend Palmer, and he knows when he plants something here, so water it.
Yeah.
Well, Phil, what do you tell your customers about watering plants when you sell them?
Like shrubs.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what I do, and I have never, knock on wood, I've never lost anything. What I do is dig the hole, put the, just kind of loosen the soil a little bit down in the bottom of the hole, fill the hole up with water, stick the plant down in it, And if the roots are really root-bound on the plant, I take the shovel and just cut around the edges or something like that. Just something to cut the roots to get them going.
Is that what
Yeah,
it's...
yeah.
Tony Avitz, they used to beat them up. Beat up the
Well,
the
yeah,
ball.
Anything. Just anything to get the roots to...
Yeah, kind of
so
spread
they'll
them out,
start to grow
them out.
Out
yeah,
instead of... Yeah, instead
the
of around
growth.
And around.
Yeah.
So anyway, I do that, and I stick them down in the hole. The hole is full of water. I start to fill the soil in. Just start filling it in a little at the time. And then I put more water in. And then I fill the soil, some more soil, till they get to the top. I usually will leave the hose turned really low and let it sit there for about 15 minutes. And just keep everything, get everything really moist. And then I mulch it. Not much. I never touch the plant again. Hmm. If it can't make it with that.
Yeah. That's kind of the way I feel.
It's like you give it plenty of water when you put it in. It's got to grow in those conditions. It's got to grow into that soil
right.
that it's around it. You cannot baby it. If you baby it too much.
You can overwater it too.
Heck yeah.
They'll kill it just as fast as it being
yes.
dry.
Yes. It's they're like us. If you get comfortable, are you going to try to go, okay, if you're sitting in this aspens all day long, every day, and everybody's taking care of you, are you going to go out and try to branch out anywhere? No. It's comfortable here.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's great.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Plants that you buy from a nursery are coming from that kind of environment.
You don't want to pamper it too much.
Where they've been pampered.
Right.
It's nice being pampered.
And so you got to set it up to succeed where you're planting it.
Right, because here's the thing. You're going to forget about it, or you're going to go on vacation for 3 weeks, and nobody's going to water it, or you're going to, you know, whatever. And you just can't keep watering it all the time.
Counselor, do you second that?
Well, Phil mentioned pouring water in a hole. When I'm in a place where I know there's not good drainage, I pour the water in to test how long it I'll go do something else for 20 minutes to come back. If the water's standing there, I know I've got to do some more poking holes, digging around to get good drainage. And so
yeah.
I'm one who pour water in a hole where I'm in the clay side of the house to test the drainage. And if it hadn't sunk any at all, I need to amend that hole more.
Now, let me get this straight. Do you have sand on one side and clay on the other at your property?
Well, they're different environments here in this place.
Wow.
2.5 acres, you can go right side of the house coming in is just full of nothing but clay.
Yeah.
And you move around over the driveway and start to go out, it's a different kind of soil altogether. That's not unusual, is it, Phil and Paul, to have...
No.
Oh, not at all.
No.
Yeah, you can have...
A little different environment.
Yeah.
Well,
micro environments.
Right. Mm-hmm. Especially there where you are, because nothing's been done there for years. I mean, as far as moving any soil around. I mean, maybe never, for crying out loud. I mean, that guy...
But they're 100-year-old plants there.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, nothing's been done there in years. It's not like a lot of people living in these new developments where they went in and scraped all the topsoil off and left nothing but clay.
Right.
I mean, they have a major issue because there's, I mean, and that's probably why I do so well, because ours, where we're living, used to be a watermelon field and a corn field and a pea field, and nothing's been taken away from that.
Did you ever steal a watermelon field?
From there?
No.
No, but I did steal one.
What about you, Rufus?
I did in Boyce Creek when we were working in tobacco.
I take the Fifth Amendment on that.
No, I don't mind.
I think my cousin and I down in South Carolina and some of his friends tried to, but we weren't very successful.
We didn't really steal it. We ate. I mean, well, we were sat on the edge of the
field. We were appropriating for the evening watermelon, but I don't think we.
To tell you the truth, I don't recall growing up anybody in Watsonville County that grew watermelon.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's true, of course.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need to take the Fifth then.
They grow pumpkins up there.
Because I'm sure when you were Attorney General, you didn't do that.
No. Cantaloupes are a different story.
Okay. Now, you've just admitted something.
Well, now, on the watermelon deal, my mama would say, like she does with peaches, well, Walter, when you go down under the mountain, bring back a watermelon. Are the peaches?
And she was talking to your father. She wasn't talking to you. You were not Walter.
That's what she said to my daddy about the watermelon,
right?
And the peaches.
Well, Phil, what I want to know is what should folks be coming to your place over the next couple weeks to buy
pansies
and plant
pansies. We've got and all the combination plants to go with it. I mean, as warm as the weather is now, the snapdragons are just gorgeous. Deer do not eat snaps. We've got dianthus. We've got cabbage and kale. We've got some of the most beautiful combination plants, like some small trees to go into planters or even into a pansy bed. I mean, they're just, it's gorgeous. And Cynthia and some of the ladies there have made some beautiful container gardens, like to put at your front door or something for Christmas and or for the whole season. And they're just outstanding.
And
that's worth a trip down there to see those potted plants. And I'm looking right here, Phil, at those two evergreens, about 3 feet tall, Hollywood juniper.
Oh, yeah. Hollywood junipers, they're pretty unique.
What makes them so unique?
They've just got a lot of character to them.
Flashy?
Growing.
Is it Hollywood? Or?
Yeah, I guess maybe that's what it is. I mean, they grow weird.
It's a very upright, kind of almost architectural kind of shrub,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's going to go in a pot that I got one time that you gave the Super Kids, Phil. Put it right in the middle.
Okay.
Hanging kind of vine, or are there any kind of hanging impatience yet devised for anybody?
Hanging impatience? No, I don't think so. We've got trailing vinca that'll be out in the spring, but I don't have any.
And there are pansies that do that.
We've got a new crop of the trailing pansies right now.
Hmm. That's what I'll do with this one, absolutely.
Okay.
Are they as picky as the regular? I mean, they're pansies or pansies, I suppose.
They're just about like any of them, really. The violas and pansies, they're a little bit smaller than most of the pansy blooms.
What Melissa likes, violas. Violas.
Oh, yeah.
Because they are more perennial.
They tend to do better. Of course, they're the mother plant. You know, so they're from way back, and they're hardy.
They're kind of like the sun gold tomato. They're easier to care for.
Right, yep, they are.
Smaller flower.
Now, if somebody's got a pansy bed, do you encourage folks to do some rotation? Like, don't plant pansies in the same spot every year, or do you see people run into issues?
Well, the problem is, if you plant petunias or vinca in your bed, and then you plant pansies in your bed, you're working with the same diseases,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
So you need to be
really
careful.
Downy mildew?
No, it's
some type of root rot, probably.
Yeah, it's Phytophthora. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a root disease, and it will stay in that bed. You have to take the soil out and replace the soil.
As you would with tomatoes, for instance.
Right. Yes. It's
but it's probably a good practice any year.
It's crop rotation. It's mm-hmm. the same thing it is with veggies. And there are certain, like I was saying, the vinca and the petunias all carry those same diseases. And so what happens is you just finally, I mean, you know, the bed finally, the soil just gives up and goes, you know,
but if you
I'm
got
done.
If you got a bed that you want to plant pansies in every year, just for the summer crop, do something different, like maybe marigolds or.
Yep, or impatiens.
And that would at least give you a little bit of a rotation.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and if it is in the sun, then, yeah, definitely marigolds or sun patients. Mm-hmm. They're very hardy. I haven't seen any of those go down under any conditions.
Susie was talking about growing vegetables. It's something she'd like to do. You could do that in containers, too.
Yes, you can. And speaking of Susie, I met her husband over there, Les. And Les.
Is he kind of dusting over there? What is he doing?
Well, I asked him about that. And let me tell you, so the story is he was, don't mean to get away from plants here, but just it's interesting, the place, you know, you get to talk to all these people. And Les, the reason he cleans is because he was a tugboat operator for years.
Oh wow. And what a job.
And let me
That's
tell you.
That's fascinating.
And so everything has to be in place, and it has mm-hmm. to be clean, or you'll mm-hmm. have an accident of some kind.
Yeah.
And the other thing that he told me was, I said, well, where was your base? Where was your home? Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Guess what? That is on the Ohio River, right beside Bob's Market, where they grow our plugs.
That's where the bridge fell, too, back in the 70s. Wow.
Small world. Here we are. He said, I know exactly where Bob's Market
how about
is.
That?
And I'm like, oh, good grief. Yeah. This is too scary.
So I wonder if he was out there when that huge bridge
know.
Fell.
We'll have to ask him.
Wow.
But anyway, it's, you know, yeah, I hope that Susie can learn how to grow. I hope she'll get involved with the gardening group that
yeah,
we
hope,
have here.
And I hope she'll come to Campbell Road.
Well,
I
told Les, I said, just come up and see the poinsettias. You don't have to buy
anything. Yeah.
Just come see some of the things that we have. So, and enjoy walking around.
Rufus, we'll be at the farmer's market next week. But the week after that, we'll be in the studio. And our friend Scott Mason, who has a new book, is going to be on the show. Has nothing to do with gardening, but we're going to have him on anyway because I want to. And
I like Scott Mason. I did a little. If you look at the new book in the beginning, I put a paragraph or two in there about Scott's done it again. And I mused that I thought I'd seen all the places in North Carolina over my 28-year career wandering around. But it's just a wonderful book of all these very, very unique places. He's just a fantastic person, too, and, you know, he's a member of the Chitlin' Club.
He is. I do remember he did a story about the Chitlin' Club, and he is definitely a member, and so we will get talk to him. He's going to come and stay as long as he wants to in a couple of weeks, but we'll be at the...
That's wonderful. Well, I look forward to that.
And yeah.
Also, in the next Saturday, we get to go to Phil's, I think.
Yep, the Saturday after.
Golly, is it that soon?
Can you believe it? I can't.
Yeah, that's the first weekend in December.
Jeez. December 7th.
Well, the weather, it felt chilly this morning for a change. So I felt a little more in tune with the season. But it's moving right along.
We pick up trees on Thursday, this coming up Thursday. And we'll be setting them up on Friday night.
And your folks up there got a lot of help from other farmers, and they help each other up there. Of course, Rufus knows that.
And you're bringing your Christmas trees from the North Carolina mountains.
They are coming from
Ashe County. Yeah. So they will be fresh.
Warrensville, North Carolina. We went up there a week ago.
And you guys take care of your trees, too.
We do.
Yeah.
They
set water.
Yep.
Yeah. When you buy from a large retailer, you know, you don't know where they come from or how they've been cared for, sitting out on pavement with no water for who knows how long.
Unfortunately, when we went last week, we saw trees that had been cut. And, of course, they have them stored in these huge corrals with shade over them. And they've been cut a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're sitting there.
Come to Phil's, right. And you'll get something a lot fresher.
Ours will be cut the day before we go up. We'll pick them up. We'll bring them back, give them a fresh cut, put them in water.
Mm-hmm. Jason, do we need to take a break? Okay. Mark is in Clayton. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you all doing?
I'm fine, my friend. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I have a quick question about my yard.
Okay.
So I have done everything I think I should have done with aerating and fertilizer and seed, and I've got a nice stand of fescue that has come up, although I have a problem spot with some wiregrass or crabgrass, and the fescue obviously hasn't gotten through to the ground, and that area still looks kind of bad. And I guess I had understood that after the first frost that grass would die and go away, but in the meantime, it looks kind of bad, and I was wondering what I could do about it.
Well, first thing, we need to establish if it was wiregrass, which is Bermuda, or is it crabgrass?
It's crabgrass.
Yeah. Okay, so crabgrass, you need a pre-emergence to keep that out, that type of weed.
Yeah, and of course it is an annual. It's a summer annual. So.
And it seeds.
Yeah, so. It comes back from seed. Once we get a good hard frost, I mean, it's on the way out. You know, that plant is going to die.
Yeah.
I guess in those areas, so you've got some areas that are just kind of completely covered with crabgrass.
Yeah, the fescue didn't come up, and so they're kind of bare areas.
Correct. There's an area, one area in particular, that's it, near the driveway that the fescue just didn't make it up. It's probably 10 by 15.
So there are going to be cool season weeds that are going to be popping up in there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking, Phil, maybe wouldn't hurt to just kind of break it up a little bit and get that crabgrass out of there, and then go ahead and reseed that little small spot. You know, you're taking a risk because it's pretty late to be sowing tall fescue, but then again, we're having a very mild fall so far. I don't know what the long range forecast, but if we have a mild winter, then you're probably going to win that bet.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking that I should do. And that's what I will do after talking to you guys. And
great minds think alike.
I think if you tried rye, for instance, that's going to look different, and it's going to die in May.
It.
And I think you're just better off trying the fescue, even though
it's a small area. You know, you're going to lose a couple of hours of work and a few bucks worth of seed if it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
And then you can go in and try again in, like, late February.
And if you have fescue anyway, you're going to find that it's expensive. You got to replant it some anyway, every year.
Right.
That's why the turf specialist called it a temporary grass.
Right. I have the seed. I have the time, so I'm going to give it a shot.
All right. Mark, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
But, Mike, you're right.
Let me miss this shot.
Are you going to mention clover?
I mentioned that our friend Scott did a Tar Heel Traveler show on the Benson Center there, the old high school that they've done up for the Benson Center.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful.
How about that? Well, Mark, take it easy. Good luck. Let us know if it comes up.
I will. Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, buddy. Give my best to the Valentines if you see them.
I'm going to see Mark right now in Spring Hope.
Mo Markenham.
Yeah, right. My regards to Mark, too.
Yeah.
I will, Rufus.
But, yeah, Mark may want to look at doing
Mark, I'm sorry, got too many marks. He
may want to look at doing a pre-emergent next spring, but you do have to be careful.
Yeah, because you can't plant grass.
Yeah,
if you
do
put
have
out
to
a pre-emergent.
You do have to be careful about if there's any kind of waiting period. You know, the product label will say, do not apply within X number of weeks after seeding or something like that. So be sure to check the label, but that would be the route to go for long-term control on that crabgrass, try to get the upper handle.
Yeah. And, again, if you have enough sun, if you have 8 hours of sun, some people say six, but I think you probably need 8 hours for a warm season grass.
And he might also want to do just a soil sample from that 10 by 15 spot to see if there's
– not going to hurt.
Because, you know, there may be something there that's allowing the crabgrass to thrive. Probably, you know, you might have an isolated area of low pH or low phosphorus or something like that.
Okay. Now, we're Rubens, are you settled in out at your estate?
I'm totally settled in. Just looking at the beauty and the sun is shining. Couldn't be a better day at all.
And we got about 30 seconds. You going to plant what today?
Well, perennials that and by the way, Phil has a great sale on perennials. They're virtually giving them away.
And it's a good time to plant them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, just magnificent perennials. And I'd like to have a lot of perennials and fill in with impatiens, coleus, and dianthus, just all sorts of things. You get all that at Phil's. By the way, I challenge anybody to find a place that will have as many varieties and a wondrous place of poinsettias than Phil's.
Right. And we'll talk more about that coming up here on WPTF.